The five marks of mission, we've distilled them down into five words, simple words. The first one is to tell, which is to proclaim God's word and God's kingdom. The second is to teach, which is basically when people have accepted God's word, you nurture them and develop them. The third one was then to tend, to respond to human need. So it's the kind of, how do you respond to people in need? Not just within your own church, but in the world in general. Then the fourth one was to transform, which was looking at transforming unjust structures. So you just weren't dealing with the symptoms, but you were looking at the root causes and trying to move to changing that. And the fifth one then was to treasure, which was to safeguard creation. And it was the ecological dimension and developing that. So they were the five things. And we were looking for people to say, well, like, are we overloaded in one area? Is there areas we can develop other areas in? And people took on different types of projects within their own parishes. And
but this is good because we're talking about people on the ground. We're not talking about their deacons or their ministers.
Yeah, it was designed in a way as a bottom-up response, whereas what we were looking at was to try and promote discipleship and followership, as opposed to ministry as such, which often had a clerical dimension to it. But of course, the whole thing does get trapped into it at the clerical dimension because people were afraid to start projects without the rector's approval and that type of stuff. So there was three parts to each section of this. One is to describe what happened, to describe people's reactions, and then to do an organizational analysis of what were the forces involved in it. So we have people who got involved, really enjoyed doing stuff and their sense of involvement, and then they did reflect on there were certain pressures that were difficult to overcome. Some projects didn't work, and some projects took off tremendously for the people who were involved.
Can you give us an example of some of, first of all, the projects that really worked and were good?
One of the things we talked a little bit about was using Glendalough as a source. So we developed a Camino of Glendalough, which had a big impact in some places because it linked a lot with children in the confirmation classes, and it was a sense of them linking with history, but also linking with nature and what they saw on the different trails that they could go on.
So it ticked a few of the boxes of the fact.
It was a way in which it joined up the marks of mission as something holistic. And then they could link this then with the sacrament of confirmation and their own commitment to the future. There was a number of different pilgrimage experiences along with that. In the area of looking at unjust structures and the tending, there was a number of very big projects that people undertook of being with people, reaching out on an ecumenical basis to other people in their parishes, people who have been in one particular parish. They worked with people who were affected by addiction, either their partners or children had been addiction. A lot of it was they gave some help, but they prayed for people, and then eventually they went and met them. And, you know, it was just a sense of accompaniment with others, and that it was a very powerful witness. And we had a number of children then who, in the schools, who got involved in making the local cemetery, the local Church of Ireland cemetery, a more eco-friendly area. So they let the grass grow a little bit higher. They put in bug hotels and hedgehogs came in. And, you know, it was, and they sort of said, if I do something small, I can do something for the environment around me. And, you know, so it was a...
And life in the midst of the death is lovely.
So
that worked. And, like, it does sound very impressive because it is like a grassroots thing that people on the ground were doing. What are the things, maybe the forces that worked against them that they can learn from?
Well, I think part of it had to do with the fact that the parishes tended to see themselves as single units, and trying to get people to move outside the parish was difficult, even though there was plenty of evidence that there's a lot of collaboration at diocesan level. We had deliberately not put in diocesan collaborative structures in place, so there was no reference point for that. So people were left a little bit by themselves. So we learned a lot from that, that if you were expecting people to collaborate, you had to give them a focus whereby they could check things out. So that was something that we hadn't done that well. I think the other area then was that there is a strong sense of ministry in parishes, and people check things out with the rector. then if the rector wasn't on board with some of this, then they felt a little bit more constrained. One of the things that happened to us, I think, was like we held a big meeting with all the parishes in September, and then we started the year of Come and See the following November. The transition was too quick for people to readjust their sites, if you like. So,
and did the rectors not come along to those meetings? Or?
Oh, they did. They kind of accepted the idea, but often their plans were in place for
they
the year.
More time.
So they needed a bit more time. So that's why we extended it to a second year, and more people were coming on board because they'd seen it work in some of the other parishes and that. So it just took a little bit more time. I think one of the things we have found is that there is an embedding of the language of Come and See, but also of the five marks of mission. I mean, one of the surprising things for me was that the five marks of mission were not well known. Even though they were 30 years old. So, I mean, they were in the background, but they weren't part of the focus. At one level, someone said, it was very Catholic. And I said, no, actually, it's very Anglican. so don't confuse the message and the messenger. it was good. And I think people who have looked at this have found the tremendous richness of the biblical base of the five marks of mission and how it's an intuitive part of the Anglican Church here in Ireland. I suppose part of the aim of taking this on as a project was to make that sense of discipleship a little bit more intentional, that it wasn't just a gut feeling or, you know,
an intuitive
basis. It's there was a little bit more intention that you set out to deliberately develop a sense of discipleship. That was the project.
And you mentioned somebody saying to you, this is very Catholic. I mean, what struck me was, would this be a model that could work well in Catholic parishes around Ireland as well? I mean, it's there, it's been tested, it's been reviewed, you've learned lessons. What do you think?
Well, I mean, I think as a process of introducing people to a model of discipleship, I mean, this was a model that, like, the five marks of mission were very much part of the Anglican Communion. I suppose the thing is to try and find something that expresses what might resonate with a Catholic culture within a parish. But I do think there is a lot to be learned from project work, and you set a project, you prepare people for it, and then you have to be prepared to follow up on it. And I think there's a lot of learning that we did on that.
Yeah, I mean, even if you didn't pick the same five things, the process is there that worked well for building from the bottom up, and there's learning from it as well over the 2 years.
I suppose the basic project was what we called a Come and See, which we based on John's Gospel of the disciples searching for something, and Jesus said, well, come and see, and they stayed with him, and then he developed that as to come follow me. So the basic thrust of the thing was people talking to one another and sharing what excited them about what was happening. I think that is a model of discipleship, and learning about where God is present and celebrating where he is within the parishes and the diocese. Because I think that's one of the things that we were quite determined of, that in the project, we wanted to build on what was already happening. This wasn't something new. We were saying that, you know, discipleship is alive and well in Dublin and Glendalough. How do we build on this? It wasn't, oh my God, there's nothing happening, what do we do? It was a process of affirmation. And I think when you focus on that aspect of what's going on, you do find ways of affirming people and developing them.
And reflecting on the process and then developing from it. One of the things I love is the title of this review that you've done, Growing in the Image and Likeness of God. I mean, you talk about the project and, you know, the humble origins of them and in a parish and local people and doing small things and a lovely Camino walk and working with somebody with addiction. But that's a big title then to finish with, isn't it?
Well, yeah, I suppose when we were reviewing discipleship and God's call to humanity, we basically went back to Genesis, and the original thing was that God said, let us make humanity in our own image. And God's intervention in history from creation and setting up the covenant with people and all that, it was all to help us to be friends with him and to be more like him so that we would share his life. And basically, discipleship is a response to God's initiative and God's call on that. And that's where we learned an awful lot from people reflecting on the scriptures and on their pastoral concerns with the five marks of mission.
I think it's a beautiful title because it strikes me as that, you know, we become divinized as we follow the call, but also be the call.
That's
and
right.
We are the call. That's right. Christ has no body now, but yours, you are the hands, you are the feet. It's a beautiful image.
And we trace how that call and that sense of fellowship has developed in the Old Testament, the time of the prophets, also in the time of Jesus himself, and then in the post-resurrection discipleship with Paul. And it.
Finally, where to from now? The book is out. What happens now?
Well, the book is being distributed by the diocese to the different parishes. It will be made available more fully, I think, at the Synod, which is in October, and then we will bring it to an international dimension next year at the Lambeth Conference.
Any raised eyebrows? You're a Jesuit doing all this work with the Church of Ireland.
In spots there have been, but in general there's been a sense of celebration. I went in there as a facilitator, then it became part of my own journey. But I think there's a sense of celebration. This is a good thing to do. I mean, this is part of the marks of mission of maybe breaking down unjust structures of division and that as well. So.
Yeah, so what personally did it mean to you, David, as a process?
I think the insights into discipleship in Scripture and how that has varied across different ways. For me, the clarity of the five marks of mission was an extraordinary gift that the Anglican Communion has, and how they share and develop some of that and how that has spread in different parts of the world. So reading about that was quite inspiring. And I think then just beginning to hear how people have been implementing this in their own lives and how they have connected it to a much bigger picture and what that has meant for them.